on, guys. Let's stand and sing together. Be seated.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It's a special day here in the life of Fellowship Church. My name's Todd. One of the pastors here. I want to welcome the members of this church to this special gathering. I also want to welcome any guests that we have, any folks that have been, maybe this is your first Sunday, second Sunday. We're just really glad you're here. You're in for a treat today. It's going to be a little different service. You're going to be hearing more about that in a little bit. But before we get into all of that, I want to just share a few announcements, okay? The first announcement I have for you is, on January 22nd, we have a members meeting. Yeah, there's a list of some things happening in the life of the church. Some of the other things you can kind of look at on the app or on the website. I want to invite you to participate in those things. But January 22nd, we've got a special members meeting in the evening. Want to just get that on your calendars and let you know about that. And then something that's not on the calendar, but is something that's very important in the life of this church is we are starting off a new year of Grace Marriage. Grace Marriage is a wonderful ministry. We love it. Emily and I, we've participated for years now, and we love it. Here's the idea behind Grace Marriage, all right? When you get married, okay, like when folks get married, typically there's some premarital counseling, right? They go through some books, and I've had the opportunity to do that with a number of members of this church. It's a wonderful opportunity to just talk about what marriage looks like and understand that there's some difficulties and how we're going to work through those difficulties and all kinds of things, you know. And then you get married, and then you may, if you're like me, run into problems in your marriage. You might. In fact, Paul says, if you marry, you will have trouble, right? He comes out and says it. You will have trouble. I was like, thanks for letting me know. So then we've got counseling for opportunities with the pastors and with folks in the church who can counsel through some of those. But grace marriage is kind of that in-between piece. It's more of a preventative. Here's what it is. Every 90 days, we get together on a Saturday morning. And we first of all, childcare is provided. There's lunch and snacks and coffee provided, and it's just an opportunity to check in, to go through some material, to look at God's word, and to really just do a little bit of looking back and looking ahead as a couple. And so this is a really important piece of what we do to serve and equip our married folks at Fellowship, and we're kicking off a new year of it, okay? So it's four Saturdays. The very first Saturday is February 25, all right? A little less than 2 months from now. Signups are going to be coming out this week, but I just want to get that first date, February 25, on your radar. And just let you know, hey, there's going to be a movement among us to be proactive in our marriages again this year through this ministry. So you'll be hearing more about that, but I did want to get a plug for that in front of you. I did say that today's service is going to look a little different. That's because today we are commissioning Scott Allen as our pastor for preaching and vision. Yeah. I know you're excited. I don't know anybody who's more excited than I am. I am so excited for this day, and it's great to see some family here to support you and Joe today, and your family, your kids, and we're just so excited about this. I want to just make it very clear at this point that this day is not about any one man. It's not about any one family. This day is about God and his faithfulness to his church. This day is about God. We're going to worship today. We're going to lift his name on high. And it's about worship. And really, as I've reflected on this day, and as our elder team has reflected, the word that's come to my mind and to our collective hearts is gratitude. Gratitude. I'm so thankful that God is and continues to be who he has always said he was and all that he has claimed to be. I'm so thankful that he has been faithful to this church. You might be asking how we got here to this point, how we got here. And I've got like 3 minutes to share how we got here. So I'm going to be brief. But I just want to say that this day, this moment, there's just so many moments before this that led up to this. Scott has been a member of Fellowship Church since when? Was it 2008? That's what I thought, 2008. He's been a member so long that we can't even find his membership covenant. We got to have you sign another one of those because we were not organized way back then. I mean, we got a few. We know he's a member. We just can't find his covenant. So he's been a member here. Joe and Scott have been a members here since 2008. And this is actually not an ordination service because Scott has actually already been ordained back in August of 2012. All right. So over 10 years ago, back at Bluegrass Parkway. Some of you guys remember the low drop ceiling of Bluegrass Parkway and packing into that little business office center. August of 2012, we laid hands on Scott, and ordained him for the work of ministry and commissioned them as international workers. And God led them to Texas for training and equipping. Then God led them, let me get my dates right. I've got all these dates down because I think they're significant. Let me find Scott's page in my book here. There it is. Yeah, so on September 13 of 2015, we commissioned them to the work in India. September of 2015, and I remember that moment well. It was again back at Bluegrass Parkway, and we laid hands on you, and it was packed, and it was this idea. I just remember, you know, we're all called to mission, right? We're all called to live on mission. Some are called to go, and some are called to support and pray and hold the rope. That was the theme of that season, was holding the rope. And so as we sent them out, it was with, as you can imagine, a family, young, capable, beautiful family, being sent out from us to go overseas for who knows how long. It's an extremely emotional day and season in the life of the church where we were saying we believe God through prayer and through discernment and just all kinds of conversations that God is leading you guys out to be deployed in this specific way. And then, they were there for 7 or so years. In that time, I got to also be a part of another commissioning service for Scott. In August of 2020, he was appointed with Pioneers to be an area leader, and I didn't get to go over there. There was a big, giant Zoom call, and it was really beautiful because people from all over Asia and all over America were coming together on this call to appoint Scott to this leadership position within Pioneers, and God just started working. Obviously, we had a need for a pastor for Preaching and Vision here. If you guys remember that Abide pamphlet, we started praying. We said, God, we want your will to be done in Louisville, in Fellowship Church, as it is in heaven specifically. And we started praying and fasting and had a season of that. And Matt Sees, he preached a sermon last week that was just so fitting. As I was reflecting on today, one of the main themes of thrust of that sermon in Proverbs was work unto the Lord as you wait on him, as you just wait for his leading. And I just think that those two words and those two spirits and postures towards the Lord really represented our collective hearts at Fellowship. We have a need, so we're going to work towards that need. We're going to knock down doors and make phone calls and get the word out and job postings and all the rest. But we're also going to wait on the Lord for this too, and see where he leads. And I'm just thankful because as we worked and as we waited on the Lord, God started doing a work in Scott's heart and in their family, and started to think, God, maybe my next deployment would be at Fellowship Church as a pastor for Preaching and Vision. And so conversations started happening, and prayers specifically for that potential idea started happening, and one thing led to another, and here we are today. Here we are today, so I'm just delighted to be here today. I'm thankful for this moment. This is a moment where I personally, but I think we all as a church, can see that as we work unto the Lord and as we wait on him, that he is faithful. He's faithful. He is good. He gives good gifts to his children. And today is a day that we can celebrate that. So I'm going to read a call to worship. And I'm going to ask Judy Askins if she'd come up after that and pray for us. She was a big part of our last season of prayer. over the past year. And our call to worship is going to be a little different today. It's going to be a call. I'm going to say something, and then you're going to respond. We're all going to be saying scripture together, back and forth. But there's a beautiful refrain in Psalm 136 that I want to invite you to read. And so you can see it up here. We're going to stand together. We're going to honor the reading of God's word as we stand. The white text, the text that's in white, I'll be reading that. And I'd like to invite you to heartily, loudly say together in one voice all of the text that's in light blue. You guys got it? All right, let's do this. This is Psalm 136, verses 1 through 9, and then the very last verse as well. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. To him who by understanding made the heavens. To him who spread out the earth above the waters. To him who made the great lights, the sun to rule over the day, the moon and the stars to rule over the night. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Judy, will you join us, lead us in prayer?
Will you bow your heads and pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we have much to thank you for today. We thank you for being the good God that you are, for announcing to Moses that you are the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And then you have continued to be this same God for thousands of generations. We in this present generation are so thankful for your keeping of every promise that you have ever made. Chiefly, we are thankful that you kept the promise to send your only Son to be our Savior and Redeemer. Amen. Jesus came to live as a man, and to die in our place, and to rise from the dead. And now he ever lives to be our faithful mediator and intercessor at your right hand. We are so thankful that you have prepared and softened our hearts that we may receive our personal salvation by faith through the hearing of your word. And by your loving grace, we can receive the Holy Spirit as our guide, to be transformed more and more into the image of Jesus, our King. We thank you for bringing Fellowship Church to this day, and we praise and thank you for your keeping power that has sustained this body of believers. We thank you for the faithful preaching of the word, which is the cornerstone of this church. We thank you for guiding our elders and all the leaders of this church and providing your watch care over each one of us. We thank you for raising up a team of dedicated men and women to conduct a thorough and principled pastor search. We thank you for calling your people to pray that the man of your choosing would be selected to be our shepherd and the pastor for vision and preaching. And we are so thankful today to be here to witness Scott Allen be commissioned as lead pastor of Fellowship Church. And so today, we lift our hearts and voices in praise and thanksgiving to you, the only wise God who only does wondrous things, And Father, we offer this prayer to you in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Call and response kind of reading that we'll do corporately. The same as earlier, I will read the text in white, which comes from Psalm 145. And then we will all say together the text in blue, which is a responsive corporate prayer. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds in the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. And we confess, our God and our King, that we have not always honored you as God, or given thanks to you as you deserve. At times we have bowed to creation and have given honor to worthless idols that neither see or see. We now turn again from those idols and confess our need for you and you alone. We thank you that the Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling down and raises up all who are bowed down. We need you, Lord Jesus. Apart from you, we can do nothing. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Lord, our desire is to worship you and to magnify you with our lives as your church, your family, your people. We pray that you would empower us by your Spirit to live and to love, to speak and to suffer, that Christ may be magnified in us. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Lord, may our need for you drive us to our knees in frequent and fervent prayer. And in that place, be near, O Lord, as you have promised. Be merciful to us, turn to us, and hear our cries, and deliver us from all of our enemies. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.
I confess, bowing here. Good morning, Fellowship Church. My name is Clay Kelly, one of the lay elders here at Fellowship. And, you know, one of the things that our church is big on, we're big on commitment. Your insurance company may have that same slogan, but we've adopted it. You know, if you are a member of Fellowship, you have signed a covenant that expresses a commitment that you have to the body, to other members, to Christ, and it outlines those things that we hold near and dear to the position of membership. Whenever the search team was organized, they were given a charge, a list of commitments that they were making as they followed God's lead in looking for our next pastor for preaching and vision. And that's also true for our elder team. You know, as men who are charged with leading this flock, that's a tall responsibility. There's a lot of scripture that talks about the qualifications of elder. It talks about the character and the virtues and the just those attributes of the men who are called to perform that function within the church body. And so we have put together a covenant where we sign, each elder has signed that covenant as a commitment really to the team of elders. Because as we lead the church body, we care for your spiritual needs, we care for you, your physical needs, we want to watch out for you and protect and guide and lead. That really, the healthiness of that function comes out of a healthy team. And so we've committed to that. So this morning, kind of as the first step in this commissioning process, we will make that charge to Scott, and I'd like to invite the other elder, all the elders, and Scott up to the stage right now, as I read the points of that elder covenant that Scott will hopefully sign. So this is the Elder Covenant. The mission statement is that we exist to cultivate a community of maturing disciples who enjoy and proclaim Christ in all of life to the world. So Scott, these are the points that I'm going to read to you that you will be committing to. Live a life worthy of the gospel of Christ. Protect and guard the flock by sound doctrinal instruction. Cultivate an atmosphere of openness and honesty on the team. Regular and consistent prayer for the body. Quickly and thoroughly deal with sin and conflict in your personal life and on the life of the team. Mutually submit your desires and wants to the whole of the team. Regular sharpening, accountability, and evaluation. Speak, think, and regard the best of my fellow elders. Agree to never criticize a fellow elder to a church member. Never assume or judge without seeking to fully understand the situation or perspective of another. And last, when the occasion arises to step away from the office of elder, to do so in a gracious and careful manner. Scott, do you commit to these points of the elder covenant?
I do.
Very good. So now I'd like Dean to come forward and read a charge to Scott before he signs.
Thank you, Clay.
Find where it went in the book. Here we go. Okay. Scott, will you commit to faithfully preach the whole counsel of God's inerrant word in season and out, without apology and without compromise, not shrinking to declare the whole counsel of God?
I will.
Will you commit to lead this church by being a personal example to this congregation, committed to a life of holiness, abstaining from all practices that may jeopardize your witness, and spending and being spent for proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ?
I will.
Will you commit to lead this congregation by being a personal gospel witness in your own life?
I will.
Will you determine to know nothing among this congregation but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, not coming to them in persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power that God might get all the glory?
I will.
Will you commit yourself to loving this congregation by praying fervently for those Christ purchased with His own blood and has now given to you to shepherd in this church?
I will.
Will you desire to love this congregation as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, imparting to them not only the gospel, but also your own life?
I will.
Will you do everything in your power to shepherd this flock by protecting them from false teaching and false teachers?
I will.
Will you commit to be God's leader in your own home, teaching your family the things of God according to the scripture, by the word and deed, and leading them to love Christ and His church?
I will.
Then I would ask you to come and please sign this covenant.
Church family, let's pray. Our most wonderful Heavenly Father, King of all things, Creator, Sustainer, You've ordered all things. Jesus upholds this world by the word of His power. We praise You this morning. We give You praise for the way that You have ordered all things and that You have faithfully sustained this church. We praise You, God, for the mighty works that You have done throughout all time. There's nothing outside of Your control, Your plans. You are King of all things, and we give You praise this morning. Father, I pray that You would, as the song said, that we come to You and we confess this morning that we are failed people who are in desperate need of You, and that is no different as leaders. Father, we fail to shepherd the way that Jesus shepherds. I pray that You would make us like the one shepherd, this church's shepherd, Jesus Christ. He is our shepherd. And I pray that this morning that be true of these men and that be true of Scott. I pray that you would be his shepherd. Pray that you would, that he might look to you in all things, that he might trust you, and that you, as Scripture explains, as Titus 1 says, that he would be a man above reproach. I pray that he would be an exemplary believer in you, and that his life might reflect the goodness of the gospel, the goodness of your son Jesus, and his life might continue to look like that of Christ. I pray this morning that you would be with his family. I pray that he would lead them well. I pray that he would be a good husband, that you would protect his marriage. I pray that you would continue him to be a good father and lead his children well, that they might be faithful, that they might grow in wisdom and knowledge of you. I pray that you would give him strength, give him the ability to constantly look to you and look to your word to guide and lead his own life as he leads this church. Father, as we come to you this morning, I pray that the position that we talk about, the pastor for preaching and vision, I pray, God, that you might, in Scott's leading and looking to your word, I pray that you would sustain his preaching. I pray that you would give him just a constant desire to sit under your authoritative word. And I pray that it would that you would use him as a mighty mouthpiece to speak the glories that you have revealed in your word. I pray that you might also grant him vision, God, to help lead this church looking to you. This church might be one that seeks to know Christ more deeply and to make him known in this world. I pray that you would give him strength. We look to you, Jesus, our great shepherd. We praise you this morning. We thank you for the mighty things that you have done. We thank you for the way that you have been faithful to Fellowship Church. We praise you this morning. I ask your blessing on Scott and his ministry. Please continue to be with Fellowship Church as we look to you, our great King. It is Jesus who we praise this morning. In his name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Here at Fellowship, we take church membership as a big thing. We take it seriously. It's not easy here at Fellowship to float in, float out, say you're a member, to not say you're a member. We ask each one of our members to sign covenants with us. We are one body. We are one family. We're a covenant community built on shared doctrinal and relational commitments. As we follow the Spirit's leading in appointing Scott to this role, we want to reaffirm our trust in God as elders, our partnership together as a community, and to make a commitment to his leadership alongside the other elders. In addition to the membership covenant where you all have made a commitment, several commitments actually, to one another and to God, we're going to ask that the members of this church would verbally affirm the following on today, such a special occasion. So as I ask for commitments, I would ask you to respond. Each one of these are backed scripturally, and we are going to ask you to say, we will. So, Fellowship Church, will you commit to faithfully attend the preaching of the Word of God in corporate worship and receive the Word, not as a word of men, but what it really is, the Word of God? Will you commit to love your new pastor, honoring him as one who labors in word and doctrine for the good of your soul and recognizing him as the shepherd God has given you? Will you commit to respect your new pastor and follow him as he follows Christ, honoring him as Christ's under-shepherd, ordained by God to keep watch over your souls? And will you let him do this with joy and not with groaning, since that would be of no advantage to you?
We will.
Will you commit to stand alongside your new pastor in enacting loving church discipline when necessary for the purpose of individual repentance and restoration, the honor of Christ, and the purity of the church?
We will.
And lastly, will you commit to pray for him and his family, not placing unreasonable expectations on them, but encouraging and building them up in the faith?
We will.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me together as a body as I pray for this entire church that we would be able to fulfill those commitments that we've just made? Dear God, I thank you for providing your church to us, God, so that we can be strengthened and encouraged in our faith together. I thank you for all the brothers and sisters that are here at Fellowship Church, and I thank you for their genuine love for you. We thank you that you've put your spirit in us to help us and guide us. That's what we're asking for today, God. We're asking for your spirit to give us more power, more conviction, and more guidance. Everything we've just committed to do, God, we're asking you to help us to do that through the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask you to help us to love your word, God, that it would be more precious to us than gold, like David said in the Psalms, God, so that when we come here on Sunday morning and hear Scott's preaching, it's like he's giving treasure to us, God. We pray that we would love Scott, that we would be so grateful that he's willing to serve us, that gratefulness would overflow with love towards him and his family, and that love would overflow into honoring him, God. We pray that we would not forget what a good gift he is to our body. God, we pray that we would submit to his leadership with joy and without complaining, God. We ask that you supernaturally free us from that critical spirit that is so deep within so many of us, God, including myself. We pray that you would help us to stand alongside him in matters of church discipline, God. We know that you want our body to be a shining example of your love to the world, God. And so when Scott calls us to repentance, we pray that you would ask us to, that you would help us to stand alongside him, Lord. And we do also pray that we would pray for him faithfully, God. We know that Scott needs your power. He needs your spirit, God. And so we pray that we would be an encouragement to him when we can honestly say to him, Scott, I am praying for you and your family, so that he knows we're looking to you, God, to empower him and strengthen him. We pray that you would help us to do that. And in so doing, when we're praying for him, it will make it so much harder for us to be overly critical or to put unrealistic expectations on him, God, because we know that he is a man who is in need of you. We pray that you would help us do all these things through the power of your spirit, through the mighty name of your son, Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing together.
Put your armor on, hear the call. Good morning, family. What a joy and a privilege it is to be up here again, but under a new, with a new title, new responsibility, and a new privilege. You are my family. You have been my family for a long time, but now, by God's grace and His sovereign plan, I stand here as your pastor. Well, I'm not preaching this morning. That will start on February 12th, as has been announced. And if you come to the members' meeting on January 22nd, which we ask that you would come, your presence and your participation is really important, you'll hear more about the preaching plan and the calendar for this year. And so that make that a priority to come out on January 22nd. And then I'll be preaching going forward from February 12th. But in place of preaching this morning, I think as we celebrate together God's goodness and faithfulness and direct our attention to Him, I want to extend that thankfulness and gratitude to you all and to this church who has cared for us so well over these years. You know, as we think about worshiping God and praising Him for all that He has done for us, that's been mediated in our lives a lot of it through you all, as you have been the demonstration of the goodness and kindness of God to us over the years. I think back all the way till from 2012 when we were sent out until this day, how you all have cared for us in so many ways. Your encouragement and your notes that you've sent and the videos that you've video messages that when we were down and out, there were several times where we got text messages from you all that just spurred us on and kept us going. We got care packages that sometimes took months to get to us, and they were beat up when they got there. But so many ways that we have seen you all demonstrate God's goodness to us and demonstrate God's kindness to us. You know, Thomas Merton says in his book, Thoughts in Solitude, he says that the grateful person knows that God is good, not by hearsay, but by experience. And because of you all, because of your display of the love of God to us through so many ways, we don't just hear about God's goodness. We've experienced it through this church, through this body, through our faith family. We thank you. And even since coming back, I mean, we expected to move into our house and to have some mattresses on the ground, and yet it's been completely stocked, and there's even pictures on the wall. Like we were joking that, you know, it took us 5-6 years into India before we even hung anything on the wall. And here we show up here and we already have paintings and scripture, and it's just a beautiful display. So Greg and Jen, thank you for honoring us and loving us through leading the transition team. That's been a huge blessing. Trisha, thank you for the meal train leadership. I think it's been said that our church has the spiritual gift of meal trains and providing meals. And so we've been the recipient of that. We thank you so much. And as I was reflecting on this church and just how you all have cared for us, and as Todd said, how you've held the rope for us over the years, 3 John came to mind. And in 3 John, this little letter towards the end of your Bible, the Apostle John is commending his friend Gaius for the hospitality that he's shown to some itinerant preachers. And in that he says, "Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth." And I want to testify before you all, before the church, that as we went out for the sake of Jesus' name to make Him known in the Himalayas of North India, you all, like Gaius, you were faithful in your efforts to care for us. We never lacked. You were God's provision for us. You sent us out and back in multiple times, providing for us all along the way, showing us the grace of God and the love of God far better than we deserved. And you've been fellow workers for the truth, as he says. By caring for us, by holding the rope for us, the gospel was able to extend in the mountains of North India. The kingdom advanced. So your service to us, your care for us really mattered. And I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you, church. But I also want to thank the search team. Not just because you picked me, thank you. Appreciate that. But really, before being a pastor, I was a member of this church, a part of this family. And to be honest, as a family member, I was concerned. You know, we were overseas and hear reports of how things are going back here and really concerned for our elders and for this body. And I was worried that the elders would not be able to give the time and effort needed to adequately find the next pastor for preaching and vision. And so when they, in wisdom, decided to call upon the church and call up 8 representatives to form a team and to develop a process that would, that under God's leadership, they would find the next pastor, I was really encouraged. And as I heard more about what they're doing, and then as I stepped into that process and saw what they were doing, I was just thankful to God. Whether or not it was me that ended up being called to this, I was just thankful for the sacrifice and the service that these 8 members gave to our church, to this family, and serving their time. So much time and effort and energy went into this process. And so I want to thank Greg and Holly and Stephen and Brian and Lydia and Quentin and Brandon and Heather. Yes, there's a lot of them, so I wrote it down. You guys are awesome. Thank you. Can we clap for them? Because they really did. Yeah. And as I thought about you all, 1 Thessalonians 1:3 came to mind. We remember before our God and Father your work of faith, your labor of love, and your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you for serving. And if you haven't yet, please go out and feast. Go out on the town. You can charge it to my account. I think I can do that now. So just put it under a line item for Scott. But please celebrate. You guys did an amazing job. Thank you. All right, to the staff, Kyle, Anna, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for the way you guys have served. But I really want to focus on Brandon and Lydia. As I have seen from afar for several years, but now since starting to work with the church since November, I have seen these servants and how much time and effort they give to this church. Often, in unnoticed ways, they give 110%. To serve you all and to care for you all. And as I've learned more about their responsibilities, both written and then unwritten, I'm just amazed. I'm amazed at how you all serve. And I thank you. And I know that I'm speaking on behalf of the church. And when we say thank you to you all. So I bring that up because I know these last 2 years especially have been really hard. And they've served alongside the elders in a lot of ways, and so I want to recognize them. But lastly, I want to thank the elders, my elders, the men I get to step in and serve alongside. You know, as I was reflecting on you all and your service to this church, the servants in Nehemiah who were building the wall came to mind. You know, they were working building the wall with one hand, and yet they had a weapon ready at their side. You know, they were serving, and they were also protecting, and they were building and they were guarding, and I think about all that you guys have done over the years, but especially these last 2 years. You were not just building and with a sword at your hand. You were also holding on to your kids, and you were putting out fires, and you were working your other jobs that you have, and you were dodging rocks being thrown at you. You guys have given yourselves to this church and to the Lord, and I'm just thankful for you all. You know, you've fought in the trenches together faithfully, and you know, it's an honor to get to serve alongside you all as you have served the Lord. And as we saw during Christmas, when Jesus was born, there was a lot of expectations about who he would be. You know, he was the promised, long-awaited Messiah. He was Christ the Lord who would save his people from their sins. And then as his earthly ministry took shape, you know, those expectations about him really grew. And, you know, as he turned water to wine, and as he healed the sick and gave sight to the blind, as he fed thousands with only a few crumbs, as the crowds were astonished at his teaching, and as he spoke of forgiving people of their sins, these expectations began to grow and to grow of this promised one from Psalm 2 who would be the king who sits on his throne over all the nations, this king. And yet, as his earthly ministry was coming to an end, we see Jesus do something that was very unexpected, something that you wouldn't think a king would do. As he gathered his disciples together for a meal, we see him in John 13 take off his outer garments and he bends down and washes the feet of his disciples. I mean, it's amazing. This King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the great I Am, the one who was and is to come, he humbled himself by becoming a man. He took the form of a servant, as Philippians 2 says, and he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And on the path to that cross, we see Jesus get down on his knees and he washes the feet of his disciples. And he gives them through that a picture of their need to be cleansed of their sin, but he also gives them a picture of what it looks like to lead, what it looks like to serve. He says in John 13, verses 14 and 15, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done to you." The King of Kings shows us what it looks like to lead, and we lead with a towel in our hand. He laid down his life for others, and it's not what people expected, but it's what people needed. And then he says to them, "Love one another just as I have loved you. You're also to love one another." And so elders, please, I want you to come up here. You don't know what I'm about to do, but you should probably get used to that. I don't think Jesus is commanding us to do this actual act, but I've found in our experience that doing the act of washing the feet of others it helps us express our heart posture. And as I step into this role, as I step into this ministry, we might not meet everyone's expectations, but I want to commit to serving you selflessly. I want to do this as an honor, a way to honor you all and your beautiful feet that have walked many miles over these last several years. And I want to do it as a challenge to you all, for you to continue washing, continue serving, and continue giving yourself selflessly to this church. So, I ask you guys to come over here, please. One at a time, I'm going to wash your feet, pray over you, and I encourage you all, as different culturally as this is for us, to pray alongside me for these men. And for our ministry together. Please take your shoes off. I'm not gonna wash your shoes.
Polish them. Yes, you polish.
No.
Gotta put on good socks.
Life to you, King Jesus, and how through his time, through his effort, through his sacrifice, he has demonstrated to this church and to these elders the love of God. God, I pray for Clay that you would, as he in so many ways feels worn out and is through these years of giving himself to this church, I pray that you would be the strength that he needs. Continue serving. I pray that you would be his joy, Lord, that you would be the satisfaction of his soul, and that all his ministering, all his serving to his family and to this church would be an overflow of his worship to you. And I thank you for him, and I ask that as we labor alongside one another, Lord, help us to strive for the unity of the faith. Help us to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Help us to care for one another in practical ways
And Lord, I thank you for these feet that have labored for you. I pray that they would continue to be given over to the work of the kingdom. For his heart to share the gospel and how he has been a light on a hill. I thank you for him. He's been such an encouragement to me overseas, and to know that I get to serve alongside this brother is a joy and a gift. God, I pray that you would continue to be his rock, his foundation. I pray that he would know, Lord, the depths of the love that you have for him. I ask that you would lead his heart more and more into an understanding of your service to him, Lord, as you serve him, as you care for him, as you provide for him, that he would enjoy fellowship with you, Father. I ask that as he ministers to this church, God, would you give him a compassionate heart, a growing love for these people, and that that he would, all his ministering, all his caring would be just a reflection to this church of your heart. And I know that he has done that. And I just pray that you would continue to empower him to do that. Pray for his family, and for Holly, that you would help him to care for his wife and kids well, and be an example to the flock of what it looks like to live the gospel out in marriage. And I thank you for this man. I thank you for his service. I pray a blessing on him and continued faithfulness to this church. Lord, protect him and keep him. In Jesus' name. Fellowship without Lee, thinking about Lee, and he has been around for so long and has been a continual picture of your grace to me. I thank you just for the evidence of your faithfulness to him and how you have grown him and how you have changed him over the years, and how he has been just a sweet friend to me. And as he has shepherded this church faithfully, Lord, as he has stepped into a role of responsibility that is a high calling, Lord, you have empowered him. I thank you for that. And I thank you that he's not just Lee from Louisiana. He is a shepherd of this church. And God, I just pray that you would continue to empower him to do this work. I pray that you would lead his heart to the love of God and the steadfastness of Jesus, and that he would serve in the strength that you provide. God, I thank you for how he has, in his last couple of years, stepped up and filled in so many roles and responsibilities that have, again, gone unnoticed, but Lord, you see, and the other elders see, and I just thank you for him. I pray your continued blessing on his family, and Lord, I ask that you would, continue to show your goodness to this church through Lee and his ministry. Thank you for him, God. I'm excited to serve alongside him. I pray a blessing on him in Jesus' name. Love you, man. Hey, brother. Thank you.
you for Dean. Thank you for his ministry to this church. Thank you for, I just know that he has given so much to caring for these people, caring for me, caring for Todd and the other elders. And I've seen in his smile, in his tears, Lord, he can't even talk about your faithfulness without crying. And I just thank you for that, because it just shows us how faithful you are. Lord, through this man, I have seen your faithfulness in so many ways, and I thank you for him. And it's a privilege to get to serve alongside him. And God, as I get to step into ministering with this man, I pray that you would continue to teach me what about your faithfulness. I pray you would continue to demonstrate to him how kind you are. And Lord, as however many years he has left serving as an elder, God, I pray that that you would continue to be his delight and his joy, be his satisfaction, be his peace, be his wisdom, Lord. And I ask that as he serves his wife and his kids, and as he serves his church, Lord, that you would that you would be shepherding him. And Lord, I ask that you would help us to practically strive for the unity that you give us in Christ. Lord, that we would think well of one another, that we would, by the power of the Spirit, think about whatever is good and honorable and true and just and pure and lovely, anything that's excellent, that we would think about these things. And in doing so, we would honor you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for him and ask that, I ask that he would find strength to help in time of need, grace to help in time of need, and Lord, that you would be near to him. Thank you for this brother, and thank you for his service to this church. In Jesus' name. Love you, brother. Beautiful the feet of those who preach the good news. And this man, Lord, this man has endured a lot to continue preaching the good news to this church, to continue leading this church. Lord, even as he has been wounded in so many ways, Lord, you have upheld him with your righteous right arm. You have, even when his soul has barely been clinging to you, Lord, your right hand has upheld him. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you that he's been willing to endure with patience and joy. And I thank you just for how he has not given up. And in that, Lord, he has shown your persevering grace. And I thank you that through dark nights of the soul, you have been his light. You have been his peace. That you have shown your goodness to him, God. And I thank you. Thank you that he has shepherded this church through such a hard season. God, I thank you that, I just think back to even being overseas when I know he was going through so many hard times and confusion and doubt and fear, and yet he was encouraging me. He was speaking into my life and being the great a display of the grace of God to me. I thank you for this man. Lord, and as he has been worn out and tired for a long time, God, you have been his strength. And God, I thank you for getting him to this day. And I thank you that you are providing for him what he needs. And through providing for him, you've been providing for this church, God. God, I thank you that for someone who strives for excellence by your grace and who whom you have equipped in so many ways, I thank you that he has been willing to invest those gifts and invest those talents, invest himself in this church. And Lord, he has stewarded himself and his time well for your name's sake, for the sake of this church. And I thank you, God. I thank you for him. And so, Lord, I pray as I step into this role alongside my brother, Lord, help me to know how to love him well. Help me to know how to care for him well, how to serve him, how to be an encouragement, God. I pray against the enemy, any way he would try to divide or tear down or separate. God, give us the ability to fight for unity. Give us the ability to love one another selflessly. God, help me to encourage this brother, as he has been an encouragement to me. Lord, would you lead us so that we can lead others well? And I thank you for this man. I thank you for him. I thank you for his family. And God, we ask for your continued favor and blessing on this church. In Jesus' good name. I'm not the greatest public speaker. I don't have all the gifts. I'm definitely not the smartest person in this room. And at times, I feel pretty insecure about that as I've stepped into this role. And I put these expectations on myself that I think you all have of me. And I just want to say I'm not going to be able to meet all those expectations. But what I do commit to is continuing to wash their feet and serving you all and the strength that he provides. And when I landed with my wife and Amelia in India, I've shared this story before, but 3 days in, we found out that she was pregnant with our second daughter. So we had just packed up and moved across the world. We're in a janky hotel, and we find out that she's pregnant. And I just remember laying down on the ground and crying out, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. I was ready to give up after 3 days. And every day since then, he has been faithful to provide grace to help in time of need. He's been faithful to be enough. And as I've gotten fearful and had doubts about stepping into this role, my mind has gone back to that he has provided up until now, and he's going to provide going forward. And so I say again, God, I can't do this, but I trust you. I trust you. And so that's what's so beautiful about communion and the table, is that we get to be reminded that Christ is sufficient for us. That Christ is sufficient. You know, Paul talks about the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, going into chapter 3, about the new covenant ministry of the gospel. And he says, who's sufficient for these things? And then he says, but our confidence is in God, who has made us sufficient in Christ Jesus. And that's my hope. And that's what communion, coming to the table, reminds us, that who's sufficient for these things? None of us, but God is enough. The body broken for us, his blood shed for us, he is enough. He has been enough, and he will be. And so we invite you guys this morning, if you have put your faith and trust in King Jesus, we invite you to the table. We're going to do communion a little different today. The elders are going to administer communion. And so you'll come and you'll receive the bread from them and the juice from them. And they're going to say over you, this is Christ's body broken for you. This is Christ's blood shed for you, as a reminder, as a proclamation of the gospel, which we so desperately need, and which is the foundation of this church and the foundation of my ministry. So we can be reminded that Christ is enough. Amen? Okay, so there'll be two stations in the front and two in the middle. And let's pray. God, I thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you for your kindness to us. And I thank you for your care that has been shown to this church. Lord, you said that the good work you began in us, you will bring to completion, and we have seen you fulfilling that promise. Lord, you don't give up on your people. You don't give up on your church. You are persistent in your love and your discipline and your care and your provision. And we just thank you, God. We thank you. We thank you that we can look to you and say, God, I can't do this. And you say, I know, but I am enough. I am sufficient, both in salvation and that we cannot earn our way to you, Father, but also in our ongoing daily trials. You are enough for us. You are. So keep us looking to you, King Jesus. Keep us looking your direction, trusting in you, trusting that you will be sufficient, that you will be enough for us. And I thank you for the table. I thank you for the reminder that it is the good news of the gospel. And so, Lord, I commit myself and we commit this church to your grace, and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' good name, amen.
let's stand and respond to the song.
Thank you.
And may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace.
Savior's song. Death is defeated.